Hello, everyone, and welcome to Something Awesome. We are a podcast that's on the corner of nostalgic and new, and today we definitely have a show for you because you're also in front of a live studio audience.
Yeah, my son's here. My son's here in the corner. What are we using, our NPR radio voices?
NPR voices today.
All right. So yeah, today we are talking about our experience in arcades when we were younger.
Yeah.
We touched on this a little bit in our previous episodes last season, our history in video games. But I figured it'd be a nice topic to kind of flesh out a little bit more, because we both felt like, oh, we talked a lot about arcades. And then, you know, going back and re-listening to the episode, it's like 2 minutes where we talk about arcades.
So I figured we could... Too long.
Yeah, we can get a good chunk of time out of talking about our experience in arcades. And then, like, both of us growing up in a similar area, we probably went to some of the same arcades and didn't even know it. So I think that'll be fun to talk about today.
I guess we'll just start off with like one of the first places we went to, I guess, as far as arcades go.
Okay.
And I think that kind of sums it up for both of us, maybe, perhaps.
Maybe.
With golf and stuff.
That's definitely one of the places, the first places where I remember seeing like a big arcade. Like,
yeah, whoa. I guess they would be considered like a big arcade. Yeah, Something smaller. Honestly, the Shakey's Pizza for me, I think, might be the one.
For me, it was this bowling alley in Long Beach that was right by the theater. So it wasn't, it was a bowling alley. My mom and dad were into bowling at the time, and they had a couple of scattered games. Like, they didn't have an arcade dedicated room, they had a couple of arcade units there.
I feel like most bowling alleys tend to do.
Right. And as stereotypical as it is, pizza places. Even
Shakey's.
Shakey's, Round Table.
Round Table,
Even Pizza Hut.
Back in the day,
I used to go to. They had a 720 machine, and I never could figure it out when I was a kid. Movie theaters, even to this day, they still have a few random arcade units in there. But yeah, man, just the first one I really remember where I spent like spending a lot of time was definitely golf and stuff.
Same. Yeah.
Such great cinematic features as The Karate Kid have been shot.
Yes, The Karate Kid was shot there. I feel like another movie might have been shot there. I don't know if I remember. Because I've seen like the plaques inside all the stuff. But I can't think of what the other ones.
I mean, they did some stuff with Cobra Kai there, but I know you're talking about other non-Karate Kid related stuff.
Right. But yeah, golf and stuff was definitely the one place to be for at least growing up for where I was at. And then there was also like the mall arcades as well too. But I never really went to those unless like there's a purpose for going to the mall.
Right.
Or, like, parents like go play in the arcades.
I have very vivid memories of the Stonewood Mall arcade and the Cerritos Mall arcade, because it had like the sunken food court area and the arcade was in the corner. It was like red brick seating and stuff. Like, I just have these crazy, like, vivid memories of like, oh, this is what an arcade's supposed to be like.
Yeah.
From specifically Cerritos, I love that. That area, because it looked like a completely separate portion of the mall.
Yeah.
It didn't look like anything else in the mall. It was just like a little offshoot, and it had like your food court stuff, and it had like a sunken seating area that was all red brick, and then in the very corner was the arcade.
Cerritos was definitely one. I didn't go to that one as much.
Yeah.
Because of golf and stuff was a little bit closer.
Right.
Same with the mall, Lakewood Mall.
Yeah, that's another one too.
That I went to quite a bit as well too. I think because I know we're talking more about like the memories behind arcades.
Right, right.
And I know this isn't technically an arcade, but as we were talking about it, you brought up a memory in my brain. Was me and my one of my best friends in middle school. Late elementary, we would hop on our bikes and go to the local convenience store and play Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter, and that's probably one of the best memories I've had.
The first place I ever played Street Fighter 2 was at a 7-Eleven by my grandparents' house. And I didn't really envision this topic being as like arcades only, but like arcade cabinet maybe. Yeah. But yeah, there was a lot of like it almost seems, I think it's something that's like cliche and can kind of be considered a trope now, where like when movies flash back to 80s and 90s, there's arcade cabinets inside of liquor stores or whatever. But that's the way it was, man. The first place I played Street Fighter was in a liquor store. The first place I played Mortal Kombat was in a liquor store. That was the first place I saw Mortal Kombat. And I was like 10 years old. And I was like, whoa.
Graphics.
Yeah. Which brings me to like one of the things I was kind of telling you about a little bit in the car on the way over here. Sega published this game in arcades called Time Traveler, and it was billed as like the first holographic video game. And it was shot like using full motion video. And so the background was completely black, and all that was on the screen in color was like a set and a character. And it was like a cowboy game.
I think I remember that. But yeah,
it was called Time Traveler. And I remember seeing that when I was like 10 years old, 11 years old, going, whoa, this is, games can look real. And then I saw Mortal Kombat and I was like, bleh. Yeah, dude. And that was at a bowling alley. That was the only arcade cabinet that bowling alley had for a little while, was this Sega game. And I was already 10 at that point. Before that, I had gone to like Round Table Pizza and other arcades, whether it be golf and stuff and whatnot. And I played the two games I remember the most, like remembering first, are Double Dragon.
Double Dragon was a big one too. And
Paperboy with the handlebars, not just a stick and buttons. It was like handlebars.
It was actual bike bars.
And you had to like hit a button to throw the paper, and it was it was pretty insane. And at that point, I had an NES, I would say, maybe. Or maybe I got the NES after my arc. Remember? I don't know. There's right around the same time where I was like, oh, I can play Paperboy and Double Dragon at home. Sick. Right. And it's like, they don't look as good as they do in the arcade, but I can deal with it. but yeah, man. Double Dragon was, that's the one I remember.
Big one. That was a real big one, too. I think that might have been another one that we played at the convenience store too, which obviously was on rotation of game cabinets, because they did switch up. I remember when they took out Double Dragon, they added something. I don't remember what they put. Maybe it was the new Street Fighter.
Yeah.
And we ended up playing that. Mm-hmm. And then, it was like, you see, it's cliche as the movie shows it, it's true. Like, that's kind of how it was. Like, you see bikes in front of convenience stores or arcades, bike racks just full of bikes, and people lining up to play the next player.
Yeah, there's not bike racks in front of liquor stores anymore, there used to be. there was a friggin', this is going into like 97, 98, 99, like, so this is way later, but there was this really freaking awesome arcade nearby, so I won't say where, but it's on two major cross streets, and there was a laundromat next to it, and then like this building that had like blacked out windows and didn't have a sign. And I remember just wandering in one day and realizing, oh my god, this is an arcade. And they had like older games like Primal Rage and Double Dragon and Paperboy, but then they also had like the newest Mortal Kombat and the newest Street Fighter and all this, and it was like I'll tell you which one I'm talking about later, because I'm sure you've been there.
I mean, I could bleep it, but I don't. It puts more work to me.
Don't worry about it. That's why but yeah, man, like laundromats had.
Yeah, laundromats had arcades too.
Cabinets in there. Like, I don't know. I just figured this would be a super fun topic to get really nostalgic about growing up. Like I said, considering we grew up in the same area, just kind of on opposite sides.
Yeah.
And I bet there's a lot of common ground that we covered. Specifically, like talking about the malls, like the three malls in the area that we'd go to all the time. So,
you mentioned Stonewood, like that was definitely one of my childhood places that I would go to a lot. And so much so, like, even my best friend at the time, too, like, we figured out how to get on the buses so we don't have to ask parents to take us there.
Nice,
so we figured out the bus route on how we can get to that mall and like Cerritos Mall and basically, like any other malls that had arcades. That's kind of how we went on the bus system, because we wanted to play games.
Yeah, I wanted to see what the arcades had.
And because we would, walk a lot.
Yeah.
Because that's how much we wanted to play games. So we would walk to a bunch of different places.
Dude, I remember walking and riding my bike.
Or bikes.
Everywhere when I was a kid.
Yeah. It was pretty much everywhere we would go. Yeah. The convenience store was definitely one that I did a lot during the summer. Get our Slurpees and whatnot. And do that.
Remember the cardboard cups they had that would seal together at the top? You'd have to pull the strip and seal them together at the top. The 7-Eleven Big Gulps were originally cardboard.
Oh, yeah.
Which is funny because that was before they had like the refill policy that they have now. That's why you had to seal up your cups at the top after you filled it up. So what we would do is we would fill it up and then we'd go play the arcade game that was in the 7-Eleven, but we wouldn't seal it up. We'd drink our soda, then we'd go back and fill it up. And at first, like the guys that were running the store would be like, hey, you can't do that. And then I remember, because I'd go, it wasn't just like me and friends, because I was pretty young at the time. It was like me and like my mom or me and my dad would be there and we would be playing games and stuff. And I remember my dad telling the guy, relax, we're dumping a bunch of quarters in this arcade unit that I know you're getting money out of, so just chill out. And after that, they were kind of cool with it. But yeah, like those cardboard cups, man. Street Fighter 2, I was like, what, 90, 91 maybe? 89, 91? But yeah, there's a lot of really, really fond memories I have of that time. And it all kind of goes back to not necessarily being in an arcade, but being around arcade cabinets and arcade video games. I had a birthday one year that was at Round Table Pizza. And I was in, I remember this very vividly because I was in kindergarten. I was like 5, maybe 6 years old at the time. And we lived in an apartment complex and we, you know, handed out invitations to the other kids that lived in the apartment complex and then handed out invitations at school. And I remember being upset at the time, because all the people from school that came were all of the girls in my class and none of the boys that were my friends. And it was like an hour where it was me and like just all the girls. I'm like, now, or as I got older, I'd be like, you know, this is pretty sick. But when you're 5 years old and you just want to hang out with your friends at the arcade and eat pizza and the 16 girls that are in your class all show up and none of the boys showed up, which I was like, whatever. But then a family that lived in the apartment complex that we lived in, they came and they had three boys that were, one was a couple years older than me. They were all older than me, but older than me by a couple years. And I remember telling one of the kids who I think was like 13 at the time, like, I can't believe there's only girls here. And he goes, you'll look back on this one day and think complete opposite of what you're thinking now. That's, I was like, funny. No way, man. And then cut to a couple years later and it's like nothing but boys at my birthday party. I'm like, well, freaking girls at this birthday party.
That's funny.
Yeah, and I was at Round Table Pizza, again, locally. You probably know exactly which one I'm talking about if I gave you some cross streets, but I won't do that. But yeah, man. And they had that Round Table actually had some, they had RoboCop, I remember being there, which had like RoboCop. Go look up the music for RoboCop, the arcade game, because it's so dope.
I remember playing that. Yeah. That was a good game.
There was some pinball machines in there too. And yeah, I just, yeah.
You're talking about the library? The one near the library?
No, I'll tell you. Okay. I know which one you're talking about now.
I'm like, we definitely crossed paths a few ways.
This one was in like a strip mall, and it was like a freshly built strip mall at the time. Like,
oh
yeah, there's a gas station nearby on the corner. I think you know which one I'm talking about.
I went to that one too. Yeah, I remember that one.
But yeah, man, like, did you ever have any birthday parties that, like, where there was arcade games? Do you have any, like, memories or fond
Shakey's
memories?
Shakey's was definitely
Shakey's,
one.
Shakey's, okay.
And, I mean, if you want to go even younger, Chuck E. Cheese.
Obviously. Oh, dude, Chuck E. Cheese is, yeah.
But, like, as I started playing more, like, teenager, you know, before teenager years, yeah. Like, golf and stuff was honestly the number one. Shakey's was the other one. I would go to Shakey's a lot, actually.
The Shakey's by the golf and stuff, or is
it just a different place.
All right.
Only because it was closer to the other family.
Gotcha. Okay.
But I have gone to the ones that you're talking about.
Yeah.
But usually it would be closer to where the
rest of the family grandfather,
grandmothers are at. But yeah, and then Roundtable Pizza was definitely another one that we do. But Shakey seemed to be the one.
Keep it down over there, peanut gallery.
Shanky's was definitely one of the party spots too. As I got older, as soon as I moved out of the Chuck E. Cheese era of my life,
Dude, you can't go into Chuck E. Cheese now without a child. It's been like that for a long time now. But like, you don't, if you don't have a kid with you, you can't go into Chuck E. Cheese.
I mean, do you really want to go in there anymore?
So for a while, their pizza was really good. I've heard some unfortunate news lately that it's not very good anymore, but.
Nothing's good anymore.
Chuck E. Cheese had some good pizza for a while.
Everything's fake.
Yeah. Shakey's is still good.
I haven't been to Shakey's in so long.
I haven't been to Shakey's in a while. Mostly because... no, I can't go to Shakey's, dude. I'm on a
diet.
don't do it. Yes, I am. Okay, I'm trying to win this Finnish
challenge.
It's
good. You're doing good. You're doing great. Especially with them, how much you already freaking lost.
Yeah.
That's insane.
The games at Shakey suck now anyway. They're all ticket games. They're all carny ass ticket games. Yeah.
You know, I have noticed that anytime we go to any kind of places where they're more like gambling type
things, all it is.
Tickets. And it's like, whatever, just put in a fucking quarter and just play it. Like, you don't need to earn anything.
I agree.
And then there's a lot of that too when they changed up golf and stuff too.
Right.
Which I think is kind of a bummer.
They have an entire like section now that's just ticket games. Like, I remember when skee ball was skee ball to get high score and not to get tickets. I remember. I'm old. We're old. Yes, I know.
It's always been tickets. From what I remember, I feel like it's always been tickets.
No, not always. Not always. But yeah, once that became a thing, like, yeah, for sure. But now they have so many different things now that it's just all tickets and gambling stuff. I'm like, can I just throw a quarter into freaking...
Hook 'em while they're young.
Yeah. Rad Racer and play that. Or virtual racing that had the big cockpit where the wheels were square and it was. You remember that Sega game, virtual racing, where it was like a cockpit
being sitting. Yes.
But like when you see the cars in front of you, everything was polygonal, so everything was like, but everything ran smoothly. But because the wheels were square, it always looked like they should be like, boom, 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 boom. Yeah. Like, but yeah, I liked that game a lot. Had a loop in it. Yeah. And it was like first person. It was a cockpit view of the car, and it was like an F1 like car. Yeah, that was like 93.
And driving games were definitely the ones I would love to play too. The motorcycle game, just because you can get into something to make you feel like you're doing it.
Yeah.
We mentioned this in the past. I think like the most money I've ever put into a game was the Simpsons game.
Oh yeah, dude.
I see my friends, but. Lots of money. We easily, like, together probably put in, like, at the time, which is probably a lot, was $20.
I never completed The Simpsons, the arcade game, until it came to Xbox Live, when they put that and Double Dragon and
Turtles in Time,
Turtles game on Xbox Live, and you could download them, and they were, like, arcade perfect ports. And that was the first time I ever finished The Simpsons video game, was on Xbox. With friends on Xbox Live. It's like, this is weird.
See, I beat it the real way.
Yeah.
In person with friends.
Double Dragon we beat several times. The X-Men one. We talked about this
X-Men,
before.
Yeah. X-Men was a big one too that we put in a lot of money.
Yeah.
Which we also beat.
I like a lot of those four-player games. Like there was even like the off-road racing game that had the four steering wheels.
Yeah.
And have the pedal to step on, and it's just like a top-down RC looking game. There was a whole lot of games that I grew up loving because of the arcade, and then when I would get them on the home console and play them, I'd be like, I'm kind of done now because I beat it. That's when I realized that like, in the arcade they're designed to make you put in more money. They're not long games. None of them are long games. They're just designed to be brutally hard so you put in more money. I think the only few games that, and this is getting to later, you know, as I got older, the only games that really like had replay value for me, where it starts with the first Time Crisis in the arcades. But the first at-home light gun game I had was Virtua Cop on the Sega Saturn, which was also an arcade light gun shooter. And then on PS2, I ended up getting Time Crisis and 2, and I think 3 was on PS3, but I never got that one. But yeah, light gun games are apparently making a comeback because they've come up with light guns that work with flat panel monitors and with LCD monitors with refresh rates. Yeah, so apparently light gun games are coming back.
That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah. Shit. I think they're mostly PC-centric, though, which makes sense because you can adjust for latency better with a PC model than you can on a game console. But shit, man, a lot of this, the VR stuff, like PlayStation VR, a lot of that is just like a light gun game, essentially, because you're pointing the thing.
Yeah,
because
it's basically through light bulbs in your hand, right?
Yeah.
So, I've still never gone around playing the virtual...
Oh,
headset, PlayStation VR. Yeah.
Me either. My brother has it, but my son played a bunch of it when we were over at my mom's house a couple years ago. And but I've never actually had time with any like the home VR stuff.
I never done any of the home VR stuff either. Like I really wanted the Game Boy.
Virtual Boy.
Virtual Boy. Woo! Yeah.
Me too. I remember.
I wanted that so bad.
I remember they had a kiosk set up at Target. And had it on the table and everything, and I put my head in there, and I tried to play golf that way, and I was like, this sucks. I can't. This game sucks.
virtual reality games are definitely a thing that I like, oh, man, like, I want to play those. And, like, they had one at Stonewood Mall that I tried playing to.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of fun. I only got to play that once.
I remember the arcade at Disneyland, Starcade, that was right outside of Space Mountain. They had one that was on a full-on gyro. Like, you would sit in the thing, and it would spin you around. And
I remember
insane.
That.
Insane. That's a freaking just retail store now for Star Wars merchandise. There's no games at Disneyland anymore. It's such a bummer.
That whole spot where you exit, like, that used to, that was where the arcade was, right? Where it's all merch now, huh?
Yep.
That's right.
Damn. When you get off Star Tours and you walk through now, that was the arcade. That was the Starcade.
Starcade. I remember the Starcade.
I remember there specifically, they had like an arm wrestling game. Do you remember that one?
I do remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. It was right by the escalator that went upstairs, and it was like an arm wrestling thing. I remember.
I hated that shit.
Yeah. Oh, I love that game. I could get past the first three people as a kid, like a 12, 13-year-old kid. But after that, it was just like, no, you're not moving the arm at all now. And you're going down. They eventually took that out. I think somebody ended up getting hurt or something on it. Probably. Oh, but. Yeah, man, that they had some really good games in that arcade. They had like an interactive light gun game too. Do you remember that? It was like a quick draw game where it had like a animatronic on one end, and it was to 8 feet away, and then you had a gun that if you touched it knew, and it would call you a cheater, and so you had to wait until it said draw, and you had to shoot, pull it out and shoot. That was a fun game too.
I remember that, yeah.
All these games were super expensive. Like the VR one was like $10 for like 2 minutes or something like that.
Yeah, it was not
I got to do it once, and it was like basically just spinning me in circles for 2 minutes, and I got out and I was like, oh god, that's the worst. Because the graphics were still kind of vectory and not quite, you know, good. But yeah, man, I have a lot of fond memories of arcades. And it's one of those things that I miss as an adult. Like, I would love to take my kids to an arcade, but now it's like, well, you go to Dave and Buster's and it's all ticket games. You go to the arcade that's left at Knott's Berry Farm. They had a really good arcade there too for a long time. Now it's all ticket games. And I miss, Camelot still has a pretty decent arcade, but a lot of it has transitioned to ticket games.
That's the one off the 91?
Yeah.
Or 60 or whatever.
Yeah. 91. Speed Zone is off the 60. I haven't been to Speed Zone in almost 20 years.
I haven't been to
years.
Camelot in forever.
We went just recently.
They had the laser tag there.
Yeah, they did. They still do. They still do, I think.
Still do.
Yeah. That was the other thing. Freaking going to an arcade and doing laser tag. Oh, so much fun. Camelot was the first place I ever played Samurai Showdown. And I was like, this is way better than Mortal Kombat. But, you know.
I remember that one, yeah.
I was wrong, apparently, because Samurai Showdown is no longer a thing. And Mortal Kombat just had a brand new game release as they were recording like 2 weeks ago.
So this isn't really technically a story. I mean, this is like we're talking about experiences, but this is not me as a kid.
Right.
This is me in my 20s now.
Talking. Okay.
When I was living in Orange County with Gabriel, we were big fans of the show How I Met Your Mother.
Okay.
When it came out in 2005. And then there was Barney talking. You talk up this thing about laser tag. And I was coming back. We started going to Camelot because of him talking about laser tag. Like, you know, like I've only done laser tag maybe twice as a kid. Like, let's go. Yeah. Let's find a place that does it. And then we found Camelot. Like, oh, they actually have one there. Like, all right, let's go there. So we went there, and then, like, anytime we got bored, we went to Camelot to just go play laser tag.
It was
so stupid.
There was a really good laser tag place in, is it still considered Fullerton? But off the 5 freeway. I know what
you're talking about.
By the Sonic, the only Sonic.
It was like a professional type of laser tag
place. It was really nice, yeah. I remember going there once. This is in my freaking probably late 20s. I went with a buddy, and they did like a 12 a.m. to 6 a.m. like lock-in thing where you go for 6 hours and play as many games as you could in 6 hours. With my buddy Lawrence and his buddy Jason and Jason's brother and his brother's best friend. And that was so much fun. That was like...
Yeah, Gabriel and I heard about that. We wanted to do that.
It's called Laser Quest, I think it was what it was called. Laser Quest?
Something like that, yeah. Because we were looking at other laser tag places. We're trying to find another one. And I know that one came up.
It was a great sushi place right next to it, too.
Yeah. Was that one we went to for your birthday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When Michael found the Master Sword for you on Link to the Past Link Between Worlds. Yeah. You were really little, and Rick had just gotten Link Between Worlds on the DS, and you asked him if you could play, and you were like, he was like, sure. And I was like, yeah, he plays the DS at home. And then you were like, here, I found the Master Sword for you. And he's like, I've been looking for it. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. That's a good game.
Yeah, yeah. Some of my favorite video games of my favorite video game genres of all time came out of my love of going to arcades, and that's the whole rhythm genre of video games, whether it was Paradise or Dance Dance Revolution or Guitar Freaks or Drum Freaks. Like, and this was until later. Like, I did not find an affection for these games until I was like 18 or 19. And fell in love with DDR and then started playing all the, whether it was like the DJ game, that had like, it had like buttons and a crossfader on it and the thing. And it was like,
it was like that drum game too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you bring that up too. I was, because I remember when like Guitar Hero and all that stuff started coming out, you were already saying like those rhythm games were already like big in Japan for quite a while. And just recently I rewatched Lost in Translation, which came out in like, I think 2003, I think. And there's a part where they're, running through the arcades, and you see people playing the Guitar Hero like games, the drum beat games, the DJ game. Like, you see that in the background, I'm like, oh, like, and then it triggered a memory of you saying, like, yeah, like these were already big in Japan.
And, I was so happy when Harmonix and Red Octane got together to make that first Guitar Hero game, because I loved Guitar Freaks, but it was always $1 and you got 3 songs. Fuck, man. And it was always like, it was always good music, but it was always like Japanese rock music. There was very few songs that you had actually heard of that were on these games, whether it was DDR or Drum Freaks or Guitar Freaks. And the idea of bringing a guitar controller video game to the home consoles and having songs that everybody knew was like, yes, this is what we've been waiting for. Sure. That was 2005, I think, was when the first one came out.
Was this 2005 or 2006?
Guitar Hero, 2005. And I remember that year, GameSpot had done a piece on Guitar Hero because it wasn't even on the main floor. They hadn't found a publisher yet. They were just showing off the controller and some songs that were that a couple songs that ended up not being in the game or different versions of those songs ended up in the game. And it was in Kensha Hall, which was like this place where it was like, oh, the mouse controller for your PC that had force feedback and had like a gun handle on it would shake when you shot. And it was like all just weird shit that was down in this area. And one of the editors from GameSpot found Guitar Hero and was like, dude, this we got to talk about this game. And the first video I ever saw of Guitar Hero was on GameSpot. And I was like, oh my God, now this is on my radar. Let's friggin' go. And I remember the year I got it, when it finally came out, was the summertime. And it wasn't supposed to come out until like later that month, but Best Buy had already got it. And it was when the Best Buy around here was brand new. And they had put it out a week early. And I remember seeing on message boards, so-and-so Best Buy has it out. If you want it, go get it. And I called my buddy Lawrence, and he went. We went together, and I got it a week early. And I was, by the time they came out originally, I had already beat the game on easy and was learning it on normal and then hard and trying to get to expert. But yeah, man, like I love those games. And as you know, like when I stream now on Twitch, it's usually Rock Band, just because I love that style of game for whatever reason.
Yeah, rhythm games are fun. Like I enjoy watching not just you but other people play it too when they have their cameras on and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then just playing it itself, like that whole mid-2000s of just rhythm game,
yeah,
like revolution phenomenon, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah,
because like everyone had it and everyone would go to everyone's house to play it.
Guitar Hero came out, DJ Hero came out, then Rock Band came out, then Konami, the people who started it in the arcades, tried to come out with one called Rock Revolution.
That's right.
Terrible game.
That's right.
Oh, terrible game. They had this weird drum kit that had like 8 pads on it, but they were all like different shaped pads, and it was like, what are you doing? And then everybody's like, this drum controller is never going to work. And they're like, you can also use just your Rock Band drum kit. Because they had programmed that in there, yeah. There's a couple times, it's called Rock Revolution. There's a couple times where I almost have bought that game for like stupid cheap, for like $5, just so I could play through it and see how bad all the covers are. But, and what's sad is the guy that they had working on them as their head of music is actually a very talented musician. And a lot of the covers aren't terrible, just something happened in the mixing. The guy's name is Steve Lamette, and he's a really good guitar player. And when Guitar Hero did Devil Went Down to Georgia, he's the one that re-recorded the guitar solos and stuff for it. And that's why Konami like had him come in to do the music for their game, because it's really, really good and well done. And a lot of them, like if you listen to the stems separately of his guitar work, it's like, oh, this is really good. This sounds a lot like the song. But then when they mixed it all together for the game, it's fucking terrible, man.
Damn.
He has a whole couple of videos on his YouTube channel talking about the process of recording the songs and what happened. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's... I missed that time of playing those games.
Yeah.
Like, it was so much fun.
I think if... if arcades were more accessible now, still... There's a few, but like it's not like, oh man, we can go down to the arcade and play some games. And no, it's like, oh, you got to buy our proprietary card, and then you got to put money on our card, and then you can use this card on all the games. It's like, no, can't I just put a fucking dollar in the machine, please?
Yeah, yeah, you can't just do that anymore.
And I think if they were more accessible, I would really love to see if I could get, specifically my son, because he's still at that age where he's loving video games, into games like Dance Dance Revolution, or because he loves playing Rock Band with me when I stream Rock Band and he plays with me, he has a lot of fun playing it. And I always tell him, back in my day, we had these arcade games, and he rolls his eyes at me and then he picks whatever song he wants on the game. And but yeah, it's just, it would be so much fun to have, be able to have that experience today in a more accessible manner.
Well, doesn't Vegas kind of have something like that?
They do, but even Vegas is like, They've all the games are always trash because they're always all messed up because inevitably some drunk ass at 3 a.m. has gone in there and fucked up the joysticks or messed up the dance mats or messed up the guitars for the Guitar Freak or Guitar Hero Arc, which is hilarious because Guitar Hero came all the way back around and they put out like an arcade cabinet, which is funny as shit.
Yeah, that was funny.
Which is not bad, but Guitar Freaks has always been the better arcade game. But yeah, like, so inevitably, like, when you go and try and play these games now, the machines are always Top Skater, like, it's always drifting to a left and you can't ollie. Top Skater. Yeah.
That was a big game, too. That was a Shakey's game that I played a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I won't say the first time I heard Pennywise, but the time, like, when they really got their hooks into me, was Top Skater in, like, 96. Like, that's when I really became, like, really into Pennywise. It was because of that game. Because all the songs on Top Skater are Pennywise songs.
They were.
Same with a lot of people's first exposure to The Offspring was Crazy Taxi.
Yeah.
And that's another one that's got an amazing freaking soundtrack. And it's all Offspring songs. But yeah, Top Skater, man, had...
Forgot.
God, that game is so good.
You just brought memories to me. I totally forgot about that
Top game. Skater 2 was terrible. But the first one was, God, the first one's so good. I remember there was a code you could do to get a guy on a surfboard. It was like, you did the arrow 3 times to the right, 3 times to the left, and 13 to the right. And then you could get, I think that's what it was. If I'm right about that, I'll be very happy. Because I think it was 3, 3, 13. And then you get the guy on the surfboard. Which was always fun to watch him doing the fucking skateboard tricks that aren't real tricks. And they're all named completely improperly. Like, one of the tricks is, like, obviously a McTwist, which is an inverted 540. And they're just like, Super Tornado Twister. And it's like, just call it a McTwist. That's a cool name. A rodeo flip. Call it, use the snowboard terminology if you want. But it's way cooler than the made-up name you've come up with for this game.
It has to be extreme.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I love that game. There's like a whole scene for that era of arcade games on PC now that people play them with controllers.
It's not the same
though. No, it's not.
I wouldn't want to play the actual cabinet version of it.
Like a friend of the show, Robert, he's got what's it called? It's not Clone Hero, is the Guitar Hero clone on PC. He's got the PC clone of all the DDR games. Oh. He has all the soundtrack and stuff imported and stuff, but it's all like using the arrow keys and stuff. And I'm like, bro, why don't we just get a dance?
Could you just like plug Matt in? Would that work?
Probably, but mats are hard to come by now because they're really expensive. There's still a couple like boutique places, but now and then it's like really like $300 for the big metal dance mats. His freaking school has a Cobalt Flux metal dance mat from like 2003 for PE. And it's, I'm like, we were walking through for like back to school night and we came out, this is last year. And we came out of talking to the PE teacher because it's like their office is like in the locker room. And I come out and I see it and I'm like, is that a Cobalt Flux DDR mat? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, do you realize the gold you guys have just sitting here? Can I come play DDR with you guys during PE? No. You have to earn rock slips so you can play DDR. And it's like, I'll earn all the freaking rock slips, man. I want to come play. Because that was like, I didn't have that. I had a Red Octane mat. I had a Red Octane metal mat that my girlfriend at the time, now wife, bought for me for my birthday 1 year. And that one was $200. And I remember the Cobalt Flux one was like $350 because it was thicker gauge aluminum and the sensors were supposedly more accurate and didn't get stuck. I had a Red Octane mat for 5 years, and never had any issues with it. And the box had the PS2 plug and the Xbox plug and a GameCube plug on it. So I could play all the DDR games. And at the time I had all three of the consoles. So like, but then I ended up selling that to a buddy of mine, Jason, who I was talking about earlier, that I went to laser tag with Lawrence. You know, I just ran out of space and I wasn't using it anymore and I hadn't played it in a while. And we went to Speed Zone and played DDR and he got really into it. And I was like, yeah, dude, I have a mat. I can sell it to you and my games and stuff because he's on a PS2 at the time. I was like, dude, I'll sell you my mat and my games for like $100. I had all the DDR games for PS1 and PS2, except for Disney, which I really bummed I never had Disney Mix. That was like the one, dude. But I never had Disney Mix on PS1. But I had the three DDR games on PS1 and like four games on PS2. And the Metal Mat and Xbox games also. And I sold them to him for $100. And he got another like 3 years use out of it and lost a bunch of weight playing DDR at home. And yeah, it was like,
what happened, man?
It was, yeah, he was like, dude, that was the best $100 I ever spent. I said, damn, I could have charged you more. But yeah, I would give anything for the space right now to have a nice either Red Octane or Cobalt Flux DDR mat and a PC setup with, it's not in the groove, it's some DDR clone that, and you can just import all the arcade imaging and it has all the songs and all the step charts, and it's, if I had the space, man, if I had the space and the money, I would have a PC just to play DDR and Clone Hero, because I've seen people play the Guitar Hero game, Clone Hero.
I kind of want to have that going on my PC.
Yeah. But there's a dude, Acai, A-C-A-I, that I follow on Twitch and YouTube. He's really fucking good. And he even has a line on custom guitars that don't overstrum. And it's somebody that builds them. And it's like, fuck, I need what I... My guitar, I haven't played Rock Band in a while because I feel like my guitar is literally on its last legs finally after 15 years. And it's like, fuck, when this breaks, it's going to be a sad, sad day.
I can't find him anymore.
Yeah. So hopefully what I'm hoping is that if and when it does break, I can find somebody online that makes custom controllers and be like, can you use this shell and make a custom controller, please, so I can still use it? Because they wire them and they make them USB wired, so there's zero latency. And yeah. And apparently it works on PS4 and PS5 when they do that. essentially what they do is they put like a DualShock innards into a guitar controller and then solder all the points together to the buttons.
So
when you plug it in through USB, it sees it as a controller.
That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
These are all just buttons, really.
Yeah, yeah. But man, it's going to be a sad day when that guitar finally dies. So it's why I don't ever play Rock Band when I'm not streaming. Because if I want it to die, if it's going to fail spectacularly, I want it to be on stream.
What you should do is, like, anytime you pass by, like, a thrift shop or anything, always double check.
Yeah.
Sometimes they might have, you know, parts at least for those games.
Yeah, and like the thing that sucks is sometimes they'll have the guitars, but they won't have the dongles, and like you can't get a replacement dongle unless you have somebody like reprogram the guitar. And it's like, but yeah, my drum kit is full on garbage now.
Yeah, I bet your drum kit doesn't even.
Yeah, which is a bummer.
Could you use like an actual electronic drum set?
Not on the PS5. If I had that cool... Remember when Roland came out with the Ion drum rocker for Xbox 360 and PS3? So if I had Rock Band on 360, you could still use that Roland drum kit on the 360, on the new Xboxes, if you had the original converter for the Xbox. But I don't have one of those. I almost bought one of those for PS3, but it was like $250. And I was like, I can't. And it's something I would have to leave set up. I wouldn't be able to like break it down because I would want it set up exact every time. And I was like, I just don't have the space. Again, it's space and money. If I had an infinite amount of those things, I'd have a room entirely dedicated to rhythm games.
Man.
Fully set up with microphone, drums, guitars for Rock Band. A DDR mat, a really nice DDR mat. A buddy of mine, my buddy Brian, that I recorded the episode about that Bam Margera Haggard movie and him. He actually recently he made his own DDR mat for, like, full on made it.
Made it himself?
Yeah, yeah. And he finally got it working recently. It took him like a year and a half of trial and error and soldering and resoldering and rehousing everything. And he finally got it working pretty reliably. He lives in Ohio. I was like, I'm on my way, buddy. I'll see you. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that's another thing him and I bonded over was rhythm games. But yeah, man, that's... and the weirdest stuff would happen in arcades. Like, you would make friends and rivals and enemies and all in the span of two rounds of a Mortal Kombat match where you'd be like, oh, man, we're both... Yeah, Mortal Kombat's cool. Oh, you like Sub-Zero too? Oh, yeah, this is going to be sick. And then by the end of the round, you're like, you, man, you're a piece of shit, blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, you would make best... You'd make friends, best friends, arch nemesis and rivals all in the span of 2 to 3 rounds of Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat, and you just can't do that anymore.
We're trying to beat that high score as well, too.
Yeah.
That's another thing.
Yeah, like going and seeing the high score on like Daytona USA and seeing somebody's name that's ahead of me by like, fuck you. I want to be in first place.
Yeah, me and my friends, we had the high score for a good while in golf and stuff for the Simpsons game.
Oh, nice, dude.
Yeah. We were up there for quite a bit. Like, we put fucking money into that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we would have come every like other week or so, we'd come by and check just to make sure we were on top.
That's funny.
And I don't even remember what happened afterwards. Like, I'm sure someone else beat us, but like, we were there for a good while.
Then I remember that was cool for a while, and then everybody started getting energy conscious and shutting everything down at night. So then all the scores would be reset the next day, and I was like, man, fuck. But yeah, it's good times I had in arcades, man, and with arcade cabinets, whether it be liquor stores or pizza places. There's an awesome pizza place we used to go to, Frantone's, and they had the cocktail machines of Pac-Man and Miss Pac-Man.
Frantone was definitely another one too. I didn't go often, but I remember Frantone.
Yeah. So. That was.
Dude, I want pizza.
Dude, I want pizza so bad. Can't have it though. Fucking carbs. Yeah, Frantone's. There was a couple in the area, and one of them was next to a liquor store. And that's the first place I played Mortal Kombat was after Family Spaghetti Night at Frantone's, which was Wednesday nights. And I went to the liquor store because I heard noises of like arcade cabinet coming out of there when we were walking in, and I walked by and I was like, oh, and played Mortal Kombat for about an hour and spent like $5, and I was like, this is the greatest game ever made. And it always reminds me of that scene from Billy Madison where they're like, Mortal Kombat is the greatest video game ever made. I disagree. While Mortal Kombat is a very good game, Donkey Kong is the greatest video game ever made. Donkey Kong sucks. You know something? You suck! Yeah, like... So I always... that's a line I have memorized, obviously, to this day, and I use quite often now. Because that new Mortal Kombat just came out.
New Mortal Kombat did just come out.
Yeah. No arcades, just on home console, but...
It's just... Yeah. I still find that so weird.
Yeah.
That was weird.
Well, I mean, Mortal Kombat is completely different now. It's story-driven, and they have a big single player, and the online is a big part of it, and, you know, player versus player is a big part of it, but, like, that's not as big a thing anymore because of the internet. Like, you can just play with anybody at any time.
Yeah. Which is...
It's cool.
Cool, but at the same time...
You miss the camaraderie.
Yeah.
You know?
You can't go, like... Trying to mess
up. And now if people are losing, they just disconnect from the match, and a lot of games don't penalize anymore. It's like,
that's funny.
Yeah. But yeah, that's definitely something I miss, is the camaraderie of the arcade. And then again, like the near fist fights that would break out over, you cheated with Guile. It's like, no, I didn't. He's a charge character. How can I cheat with Guile? Get out of here. I'm just better than you. There was a few near fist fights when I was a kid over Street Fighter 2 and Mortal Kombat. I'm not the greatest player of either of those games, but I would always find a way to get on somebody's nerves. So,
yeah, I wasn't really good at Street Fighter. I'm more better at Mortal Kombat than I was Street Fighter.
Yeah.
My characters for Street Fighter 2 were Blanka and... I used Ryu.
Uh-huh. Who didn't? Everybody used Ken and Ryu.
Blanka was definitely the one I liked playing.
My main was Chun-Li. Always has been. Always will be. She's my favorite.
Wolf's been playing a bunch of Street Fighter 6. I don't know if you've seen the videos he's been posting on YouTube.
Oh, no.
Broken Wolf, I think, is just his YouTube name. I don't think there's numbers behind it, like, on his PlayStation account. But, yeah, he's been posting a lot of Street Fighter 6 and Mortal Kombat 1 online play videos. So, if you guys are watching, go check it out. It's really good. He's really good at the fucking game. It's ridiculous. No commentary. It's just raw gameplay of playing online matches, which is pretty sick.
I think that covers it.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Do you, would you like real, like, I know there's like barcades and stuff for old people like us and things like that, but like, would you like a traditional arcade to come back and like be a big thing? Or do you think it's just too far gone now and it's going to be that niche market?
I think it's too far gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's more going to be like a barcade type of place, or, you know, when the next Stranger Things comes out, they're going to do a pop-up arcade type of deal. Which is, I think, more of the way I think I see it going. I'll let you go to like a Dave and Buster's, but I wouldn't really consider those arcades at all.
Yeah, there's very few actual arcade games there anymore. It's all ticket machines.
Yeah. I know there's a arcade place in, I think, Pasadena.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's actually a barcade. I don't remember if it's an arcade or a barcade.
Yeah.
But
I've never actually been to a barcade.
The only one I went to was in New York.
Yeah.
Which was pretty cool. It was cramped as hell, but
there was a place we went to for a friend's birthday one year.
Oh yeah, Fullerton.
Wasn't
there that Fullerton one?
But it was like a storage unit. It was just a bunch of guys that had paid for the storage unit, and they had brought all their arcade cabinets stuff, and put them in there. Yeah, you did go to that one, didn't you? That's right.
And they also had the upstairs with the consoles.
With the emulator and refrigerator with sodas and stuff that you could get. Because it was like you pay to get in and everything was on free play.
Yeah.
And it was really freaking cool. And then that place ended up shutting down.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was really cool because it was just a group of guys that got together and paid for this unit and would put all their cabinets in there. And they had Dragon's Lair and Discs of Tron and OG Donkey Kong cabinet boards.
They had some good games.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, that was fun. But I think that's more what they're going to be nowadays, is like niche things like that.
Yeah.
Which is cool. My kids need to hurry up and get up so I can grow up so I can take them to a barcade. But stop growing up, because my son just turned 13. And I'm like, knock it off. Knock it off. But yeah, I think that'll do it for our arcade talk. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode where we kind of just...
Nostalgic throwback there.
Back in our day. It's basically what this episode was.
But yeah, I mean, what are your thoughts and what are your experiences with the arcades? Because that's something I kind of want to know, especially with the younger... kids of today, do you guys even go to arcades?
I mean, from the few that I interact with, no, they don't.
Let us know your thoughts in the comments down below. We'll definitely read them. I know Mike definitely does read them.
Yeah.
I do my best.
I read it. I generally am the one reading and responding to comments. I don't fault Rick for not doing any of that. He does so much already with the editing and all that. Yeah. So,
but I hear about it.
The least I can do is man the comments. You know,
I do like the comments every now and
then.
But yeah, let us know. And what are your favorite ones? And do we miss any kind of games, like big games? Let us know, because I think we covered pretty much the major games. I think the only one that I would probably forgot if you didn't mention was Double Dragon, but you did mention Double Dragon, so. But yeah, let us know. But that's going to be it for us today. So thanks for sticking around. And of course, we want to thank...
Nigel Bravo for the sweet music you're hearing right now. Check him out on Bandcamp at Stoat Crow Comedy. That's Crow with a K, Comedy with a K. The dude is an awesome guy. He streams all the time on Twitch, same name. And made some cool ass music and put it up for people to use.
Down below.
Yeah, you can find it here.
Thanks again, and we will catch you next time.
Peace.